Good morning, Wes.
Yeah, g'day, Brooke. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And regarding the recent inquest, could you please explain what some of the findings are?
Yeah, listen, before coming to that, I think we need to start 10 years ago, and what you may not understand is that Wamuzhari Elder Joe Brown and I wrote to the previous West Australian coroner, Alastair Hope, in February 2007. And to his credit, the previous coroner then accepted our recommendations, our requests, and he undertook a major inquest into some 20 deaths back in 2007 and 2008. He then undertook a second inquest into the community of Wumbagurri, 5 deaths there in 2008. A third inquest in Balgo in 2010, 5 deaths there. So the inquest that you're focusing on today is by the new West Australian coroner, Ros Foglione, but the previous coroner undertook 3 coronial inquests himself starting 10 years ago at the request of CALAC. So this is an issue that's been around for 10 years at least.
Yeah, definitely. So with this one in particular, it is investigating the suicide of 13 youths. Is this a problem that's just affecting the youth?
Yeah, so what the pattern across this 10 years is that perhaps 75% of the suicides are in young people. And so, yeah, there is a disproportionate effect on the young people. And with that in mind, the West Australian Parliament in November last year brought down a major inquiry into Aboriginal youth suicide in remote areas. And that report is called the Message Stick Report of the West Australian Parliament. And what that report showed was that over a 15-year period, governments of various political persuasions had collectively failed to respond to no fewer than 40 separate reports over that 15-year period. You know, there's something like 300 recommendations sitting on the books that haven't been acted on by government of either side.
And so the KALACC has previously stated that suicide is the act of a sick or distressed community. What can you expand on this?
Well, by way of analogy, let's just look at the road system. Let's imagine for a moment that in terms of road safety, that the only thing that we ever looked at was the behaviour of individual drivers. And that's a fair analogy in terms of what governments have collectively done for 10 or 20 years or forever in relation to Aboriginal suicide. You know, they focus on individual people and they like to think that Aboriginal suicide is the is a mental illness that impacts on selected individuals. That's just a perverse way of thinking. This is a socio-cultural phenomenon that impacts whole of communities. And what we need to be investing in is whole of community responses. So in our road system, we look at building roads that are safe, and we need to look at building communities that are safe for Aboriginal people. And, you know, in terms of that, what we need to do is we need to be investing in the strength of Aboriginal communities and not continually looking at things from a deficit perspective. And in terms of the strength of Aboriginal communities, we need to be building up the culture. We need to be investing in the number one asset of Aboriginal people rather than continually, you know, looking at this from a deficit perspective.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely is an alarming issue as well. What do you think that the government could do to start the healing process for Australia's Indigenous communities?
Well, there you go. You've used the word healing and you're on the right track there. I mean, the Australian Medical Journal brought down a report last year which showed that the suicide rate in the Kimberley had doubled in a 5-year period. And one of the authors for that report was Associate Professor Murray Chapman. And Dr. Chapman has just recently resigned after a long tenure as the boss of mental health services in the Kimberley. And when asked by the ABC as to what was the cause for this spike in suicide rates, what Dr. Chapman said was that this was intergenerational post-colonial trauma. And so your listeners may not understand that the colonial contact in the Kimberley is as recently as the 1930s and the 1940s in some of the remote areas. And so what we're dealing with here is, you know, the post-colonial, you know, trauma. And this passes on from one generation to the next. And so the best thing that the government and the whole of society can be doing is to, as I say, investing in the strengths, investing in cultural resilience and cultural wellbeing programs.
Yeah, definitely. And thank you very much, Wes, for coming on to talk about this investigation. You really have kind of summed up exactly what is happening in the Kimberley region.
Always happy to speak.